Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Just pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. I'm trying to do this. Hey, Spencer, I just sent something to you. Just did something new I want you to throw up there on the screen. I want to take a little bit of a personal few minutes here if I can to begin. And got the I keep telling little Reese that she is the matriarch of the new generation. She doesn't understand what that means. I call her the queen of Sky High because I believe that Sky High is a generational property that the Lord has brought into our lives. And Reese and I, 2 years ago, 2018, we put a little concrete down and put her finger handprint in there, signifying that she is the queen, the matriarch of the Dobenmeyer, Ingeman, Cressup family. And look on that screen at this little new thing that popped into our family yesterday. She looks like a linebacker. That's little Cora Margaret popped in here. This is a miracle story. Let me tell you this one as well. I told you guys yesterday they were going to induce Abby. Abby's our oldest daughter. We have Zach, who just had a baby. He didn't, his wife did. And then Abby, they're 16 months apart. And then Maggie's the baby. Well, Abby, the oldest daughter, Reese's mom, was scheduled to be induced yesterday. Yesterday morning, 7:30, they were going to induce her. And we didn't want her to be induced. We wanted it to be a natural birth. Well, she got a call early in the morning that the delivery room or whatever was full. They couldn't get anybody in there, so they couldn't induce her. And we were praying that her water would break and that she'd have a natural birth and yada, yada, yada. And what happened? About 10 o'clock, her water broke. And her water broke at 10 o'clock, and so they took her into the hospital. And because her water broke, they had to move forward with it. They didn't have to give her any type of drugs. Look at them all hanging in here. And yesterday, this little thing popped out. Little Cora popped out a couple hours later. And what's that, Reese?
Cora Margaret.
We couldn't figure out. I think she's a girl. I think she is. Although she looks like some women. And I know. Just kidding. She does look like some women. But I want to show you this, and then I want you to understand something. Jared, pull up Psalm 127. There is Annie. Say hi, Annie. Say hi to him, Annie. Get up so I can see you a little bit. And then this is David, right? Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And except the Lord keep the city, lest the Lord protects us, the watchman, which is all of us, we waketh, but in vain. It's vain to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sheep. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is Amen. The Lord's reward. Do you see this, friends? Children are a heritage. The children belong to the Lord. The fruit of the womb is the Lord's reward. The Lord's reward. These belong Amen. To the Lord. They don't belong to me. I'm a steward of them. Right? These are our offering to God, our children. And what does it say? As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of your youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. Why? Because they're not going to be ashamed. David's not ashamed. Reese's not ashamed. Annie's not ashamed, and we're going to train Cora not to be ashamed. Why? Because they're going to speak with the enemies in the gates. That's what these guys are going to do. And Amen. Unfortunately, here in America, we've been saying that these aren't a blessing. These are a cursing. That's the mentality of the American church today. Blessed is the man. These are the Lord's children. These are the reward of the Lord. These are the reward that goes to the Lord. This is the fruit of the womb. It's his. It belongs to him. These are children of the king. And my job is to do what? As the patriarch, as the grampy, what's my job?
To protect them
and to train them what? As arrows in the hands of a mighty man. I'm training these arrows. These arrows are going to defend the Lord. They're not going to turn against him. They're not going to serve the devil. No, they're going to speak with the enemies. Do you guys, folks, do you see that? Do you think I'm making this up? Do you think this isn't true scripture?
Boom.
It's right there in front of us. And think about the death they want to vaccinate little children. They want to vaccinate them. The Bible says, be better for you to put a millstone around your neck than to do that to a little kid. That's what the Bible says. Unfortunately, Christians pick and choose which part of the Bible they're going to believe. And we see Christians going out and vaccinating their little arrows. What happens when you vaccinate your little arrows? You take away their efficacy. You take away their power. You take it away from them. I'm happy this morning. Why am I happy? My quiver's full. Hey, Spencer, I sent you another picture there. I'm bragging on my grandchildren here this morning real quick. Hey, David, tell everybody, what are Dobbenmeyers, David? You're a Dobbenmeyer. You're an Ingeman, but you're a Dobbenmeyer. What are Dobbenmeyers? Here's the microphone. I got to hear you. What are they?
Thinkers, not stinkers.
Dobbenmeyers are thinkers, not stinkers. That's what we are, and we're training our children to be that way. And if you would, pull up, Spencer, it says trifecta. Trifecta. Pull that one up for us here. Here it comes. The trifecta was completed yesterday at this little bundle of joy. Scroll down. How much does she weigh? It says right underneath it, I think, Spencer.
8 pounds and 3 ounces.
8 pounds and 3 ounces.
5 pounds and 3 ounces.
There's little Scarlet, 5 pounds and 3 ounces in the last 4 months. I'm crazy.
Declan.
In the last month, there's Declan. How much did he weigh?
Five pounds, 10 ounces.
Arrows. Hey, parents, listen. Hey, listen, I hate to tell you this. Tell your kids to have kids. Tell your kids to have kids. They are blocking the flow and the blessing of Almighty God into your life and into your family. Tell your children to have children. Now, listen, it might cause some conflict. It's their duty. I told our daughters, it was their job to make me a grandpa. That was their job. By the way, that's the little guy that was fearfully and wonderfully made. He spent 47 days in the NIC unit at Children's Hospital. And all he does is smile. All he does is smile. Children are heritage to the Lord. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. Amen. Don't mean to brag. Don't mean to be full of pride. But we have got this whole thing upside down. Children are a blessing. They are not a burden. We'll say it again. Children are a blessing. They are not a burden. Let's all say that together. Children are a blessing, not a burden. Right? Huh? Hey, David, what do men do, David? What do knights do?
They protect their people.
They protect people. They got to go up. Their mom's on the phone. Bless you guys. Go up there and talk to your mommy. She's still in the hospital. FaceTime. It's unbelievable, right? Huh? Blessed is the man whose quiver is. I'm a blessed man. I thank God this morning. I am a blessed man. I'm a blessed man. I'm a blessed man. Amen. Y'all with me? Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for that.
Thank you for those few minutes of selfishness.
And I could do that. Somebody's trying to come in. Come on in.
Coach, add Genesis 22, 17, and 18 with this.
Spencer, you got that? Genesis 22, 17, and 18.
It's to Abraham, Coach, but it's also to us. If we obey the voice of the God, this is imputed to us too. Right.
That in blessings I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply. Of thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon thy seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemy. And in thy seed, you just saw him, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Randy, boom, Randy, boom, boom. So I want to play a song. Can I do that for you? Can I play that song for you real quick here this morning? I just sent it to you, I think, Spencer. Where is it? Yeah, that's it. Matt Redman. Play it at 1.5 speed so we can get through it. Because my heart's full of joy this morning. I don't care that Joe Biden's president. I'm training up an army. I'm training up the next president of the United States. That's what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing. Go ahead.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, worship his holy
yes.
name. Sing like
I'm all in.
Before, oh my soul, worship your holy name.
Thank you, Lord.
The sun comes up, it's a new day dawn.
Yes, it is.
It's time to sing your song.
Yes.
Let me be singing when the evening
comes. Let me be singing when the evening comes.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, worship your holy name. You're rich in love.
Yes.
To anger.
Thank you, Lord. You are.
Is great, and your heart is kind. For
yes.
all your goodness, I will keep on singing.
Yeah, Lord.
10,000 reasons for my heart to
10,000 reasons.
So bless the Lord, my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship his soul.
Thank you, Lord.
Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name. And on that day when my strength
yes.
is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending.
Thank you, Lord.
10,000 years and then forevermore. Forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, worship his holy name.
Thank you, Lord.
Sing like never before, oh my soul.
The Bible says this, Paul, you can shut that off. If we have hope in this world only, we are of all men most miserable. Huh? I'm not miserable this morning. I got hope beyond the grave, baby. I got hope beyond it. Because I have hope beyond the grave, I'm not afraid of the grave.
Amen.
Because I'm not afraid of the grave, I'm going to stand up and fight for these little arrows that the Lord has given me. Because they're the Lord's arrows. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full. They're inheritance of the Lord. They're going to stand in the gates, and they're going to contend with the enemy. That's what they're going to do. Spencer, pull up. Sorry, I'm all over. Bear with me a second. Spencer, pull up News with Views. I wrote today. I want to read it to you because it falls right in here. Okay, it falls right in here. They changed the title. The title that I put was excavation or evacuation. I want to share this with you this morning because it's, I believe, from the throne of God. All right, here we go. Excavation or evacuation. Mark 11:23 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Christians in America coming to a crossroads. As Yogi Berra famously said, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. Seems to me that it is time for the church to either poop or get off of the pot. Faith is a term that is thrown around in Christian circles as if it is as simple as making a wish when blowing out a birthday cake. Faith is more than simply believing. Faith is not a stand-alone thought process. Faith is something that is lived out, acted upon. If action does not follow faith, then faith becomes nothing more than a fleeting wish. Faith without works is dead. Dead. Lifeless, without power. Noah Webster told us that faith is the assent of the mind to the truth of a proposition advanced by another, belief or probable evidence of any kind. Seeing is believing. See, folks, that requires no faith. Believing without seeing is the heart of faith, while action is the evidence of faith. Faith is substance, evidence of what one truly believes. No action, no faith. No action, no action, no faith. The two are inseparable. Jesus, James, the half-brother of Jesus, told us, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Dude, show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You see, evidently, faith has substance. Faith can actually be seen. It is tangible evidence of what cannot be seen. At least the Bible's true. That's the heart of the dilemma facing America. Is God going to use us to move mountains, or is he going to evacuate us from the planet? Rapture or reformation? Which is God going to choose? God works through people. The history of the Bible is a compilation of events in which Almighty God actually used people to advance his kingdom. The entire book of Acts is a litany of how common men were used by God to do the impossible. Whenever God wanted to implore supernatural intervention, he used a human being as a vehicle for delivering that miracle. God works through people. Always has. Always will. Which brings us back to mountains being moved. Go back and read the scripture at the opening of this commentary. Do it now. I'll wait. Come on, Spencer, go back up there. I'll wait. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Okay, let's go back down, Spencer. Notice that Jesus never mentions how the mountain will be moved, nor does he mention that he himself was going to intervene and move it. He laid the responsibility clearly upon the shoulders of those who believe. Remember, faith is evidence of belief. The scriptures warn us that what comes out of our mouth reveals what we believe in our hearts. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasures of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. What one truly believes, folks, eventually will come out of your mouth. Wow. Speak into the mountain, because it exposes the heart for all the world to hear. I'm going to say that again. He told us to speak into the mountain, because it exposes your heart for all the world to hear what you believe.
Amen.
Has there ever been a time when there was so little faith in America, in the American Christian? Oh, ministers talk a good game. But 49 years later, mommies are still murdering innocent babies. In fact, Christians pray that God will end abortion. We don't do a damn thing to make it happen. Abortion remains legal with the approval of the American church system. Dead faith. All talk. No action. The fact is, most Christians do not believe what they say. If we did, many of the mountains that are currently towering over this nation would have already been removed. Instead of standing up and fighting, the church has voted for evacuation. The prophet Isaiah exhorted us. See, I have set you. I'll say that again. I have set you over the nations and you over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down and to build and to plant. You! God had some work he needed done. He was calling upon his followers to be co-laborers in the reclamation and rebuilding process. Is God done with the world? Is he finished with America and the church that he built? Or has his church simply decided to throw in the towel and wait for evacuation from any responsibility? So where does that leave us? Do Christians believe in their hearts that the mountains facing America can be removed? Are we content to sit around and wait for God to deliver us out of the mess? Or are we willing to grab a shovel and begin the digging necessary to move the mountains that stand before us? What we do now shows what we truly believe, excavation or evacuation. I say it's time to grab a shovel. But what does your heart say?
Amen.
Amen, Coach.
Amen.
Dude, that's it, isn't it? Is that ever it? Huh? Is that ever it? We sit around on our fat arses and want the Lord to do what we don't have the damn gumption or courage to do. They're continuing to murder babies. They're destroying our medical system. They're destroying our children. They're destroying our educational system. They're destroying everything. And we want God to supernaturally intervene. And he said, I've chosen you this day. Didn't it say that, Spencer? Go back up there. Help me out here. There it is. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root them out and to pull them down and to destroy. That is destruction and rebuilding. Folks, you can't get around it. I get it. Old Testament, that's Old Testament. That's before Jesus came and turned into the sissy woman, and now he's okay with all types of sin. He don't mind homos in the pulpit. He don't mind homos in the choir. He don't mind homos marrying homos. He don't mind marrying. Hey, no. That's Old Testament, Coach. We're so full of crap. Come on in, Larry.
Yeah, you know, mountain needs moved. You can grab a shovel or sit here and watch the mountain, or if you're old like me and don't have enough time left to do it with a shovel, you go buy a tractor.
That's right. Huh? Or a bunch of us with a shovel, at least a bunch of us with a shovel, right? Maybe God will give us supernatural strength to do it. No, we want to be evacuated. We want to go hide. We want to go into church and swing our flags and act like we love the Lord and then go be Secret Service Christians, hide in our houses and not do anything. This is what? This is Celebrate Freedom Day. I'm going to get to that. Come on in, Paul.
Just a second on that faith thing. So it's really important, folks. Think about this. One of the basic foundational elements of Christ, according to Hebrews chapter 6, is faith toward God. Chew on that one. Think about that. Faith. It's not faith in God, believing God can or will do something. It's faith toward God. Action toward God.
Larry, you mean me pushing my button? knowing he'll push his? Is that what you mean, Larry? Would that be faith toward God? I know this. I'm going to step out because he promised me he'd never leave me nor forsake me. And the problem we have in the world is we won't go push our button because we don't think he'll push his. We don't have any faith toward God. We don't have any confidence that he'll do what he said he will do. Why? Because we don't. We think he's like us. He doesn't keep his word. I don't keep my word. I'm made in his image. He must not keep his word. I'm made in his image. We're crazy. We've lost our freaking minds. Paul.
Hey, Coach. I'm not saying this to blow smoke up.
Go ahead.
That's probably one of the best ones you've done. You're great at painting a picture. I mean, when you talked about those examples, I could see it in my mind.
Yes, sir.
That's probably one of the best ones you've done because it really vividly paints a picture and paints what needs to be done. And,
amen.
Know, I just want to let you know that. So
I appreciate that, Paul. And is there anybody watching this show right now that would agree with me? Let's take Columbus, Ohio. Let's just take the city of Columbus. There's one abortion clinic in the city of Columbus. It's Planned Parenthood on East Main Street in Whitehall. If every pastor in every church and every priest in every whatever they call those things, every parish, they said, listen, we are going to show up. We are not going to eat a bite of food. We are not going to go to work. We're not going to do anything until abortion ends in this town. And every Christian in Columbus, Ohio, went and surrounded the Planned Parenthood in Columbus, Ohio. How long would that Planned Parenthood be open? Does anybody have an answer for me? You don't even have to give me an answer. It wouldn't be open that first morning. And it wouldn't open the next day. And you know what would happen? If we went and did that and we pushed that button, God's going to push his. Hey, I'm just telling you the truth. So see, it's easy. Believing in God, can I say this, is a great exit route. Well, God's in control. Folks, if God was in control, there wouldn't be people killing babies. If God was in control, he put us here to be his representatives. He told us to be in control. Instead, we're looking for the helicopters. Got our evacuation gear on all throughout Christianity. And meanwhile, the devil's coming and eating our lunch. Come on in, Jeff.
Coach, that's amazing. You just said that. Guess who was on East Main Street in Whitehall yesterday morning?
Probably Ricky.
Ricky Miller by himself. I said, Miller, you were by yourself? He said, oh, it's okay. He said, had my camera going the whole time and my gun.
Amen. That's right. There's a guy sold out, huh? There's a guy sold out. Shame on me. I get here. I blow hard about it. I haven't been to the abortion clinic in a while, right? You know why I haven't gone in a while? Because I understand how easy that mountain could be removed. I understand how easy that could be broken. And I get frustrated because nobody will come and do it. Say, well, Coach, Lord just needs one person. Yeah, I get it. I get it. But the world needs many. The world needs many people. Go ahead, Roger.
Oh, it reminds me of Sundays at church where, you know, Sunday at church is a nice time of fellowship that has its purpose, but it's a safety zone, you know. It's kind of like, what do they have on those college campuses now when the kids get scared? Area you can go to and feel safe and secure and happy. And that's what Sunday has become. And Sunday, a lot of churches do Sunday pretty good, you know, good crowd and good message and good donuts. But it's not about Sunday, it's about Monday.
No, that's right. It ain't about Sunday, it's about Monday. By the way, I don't want to get into that. Do I have to, Lord, do you want me to say that? Sunday's a day of rest. Why is the pastor working on Sunday? Isn't the pastor doing his job on Sunday? Not a day. That's a whole nother one. Hang on, Joe. I'm going to get you right in here. Go get you in here. Pull up Spencer. Lima Foster Care. Lima Foster Care. Do you know that homos? Yeah, I use that word. Do you know that homos can adopt? Do you know that homos, deviant homosexual men, are allowed to have foster kids? This is in Pastor Mike Spaulding. I'm not picking on Pastor Mike Spaulding. Pastor Mike Spaulding lives in Lima, Ohio. Not Lima, Lima. Roger, Lima, Ohio. January 4th. Jeremy Kendall will spend the rest of his natural life in prison for sexually assaulting seven young boys, several of whom had been welcomed as foster children into the home he shared with his same-sex domestic partner, Scott Steffens. I don't even need to go any further. Lord, please end this children abuse. Please, Lord, send some, right? Isn't that our response? This made me almost vomit that our government puts children knowingly in the hands of perverts. Now, wait a minute. Somebody other than this dude ought to go to jail. Does anybody disagree with me?
Amen.
Huh? Somebody ought to be going to jail.
Everyone in that Child Protective Service agency.
94 years behind. They gave him 94 years behind. Scroll on down. Let's see what this. It is the worst form of these offenses. I don't know what is what. If this isn't the worst, I don't know what it said, what it is, the prosecutor said. The prosecutor has rape charges against, listen, rape charges against this pervert were dismissed by the state, not because we were unable to prove those counts. He raped little boys. But rather to limit the trauma of the young boys who were victims in the case.
Well, that's a bunch of bunk, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm
standing here today ashamed of my actions. I'm full of guilt and remorse. I live daily with that pain. My once great life now lives in my memory. See, it's still about him. It's still about him. And if this hadn't been exposed, Children's Services in Lima would still be letting him have children. Why? Because you sure as can't do anything to speak out against those homos. No. They're born that way, right? Come on. They're born that way. This poor guy was born with the inclination to rape children. He was born that way. Boy, I got him stacking up here today. Come on in, Sylvan.
Hey, listen.
Let me use this. I'm going to use this word. I am pissed today. Go ahead, Joe.
As well as I'm. And pissed. That guy looks like a pig.
He does look like a pig. His poor life's gone. His wonderful life's gone now.
What I wanted to talk about real quick was, though, you were talking about the removing of the mountains. It's hard work to do that.
Sure
let's
is. Make it
easier. Let's set charges in it. Let's use people to set charges in that mountain. Blast it away.
Amen. Hey, Joe. If you read that scripture, God never said he'd move it. He never said he'd move it.
That's right.
Hey, listen, do you guys understand? I know you don't. Do you understand the mountain Dr. Paul Gosselin is trying to move? Do you have any idea the mountain he is pushing back against in this medical system that we... Do you have any idea? Do you have any idea? Huh? And I'm sure... Easiest thing for him to do is throw up his hands. And, oh, well, Lord's in control. We'll be out of here soon. No, he ain't doing that, is he? Now, what's our obligation? Do we let Paul just use the shovel by himself? Or do we go out and get some shovels and go stand with him? What's our obligation to our brother who is deeply engaged in the war? What's our obligation? What do you think, Paul? What's our obligation to you? We have any? Hey, Paul, we're praying for you, brother. We're praying for you.
Well, thank you. I have to mention that this whole, I don't know if you people realize that, but I think it was 131 kids that were killed by the jab. And I think they were mostly kids in the system. Well, the foster care system, which in Maine is actually child trafficking. And maybe you didn't know this, but the federal government gives the state of Maine money for every child it takes away from the family and put it up for adoption. They get that much more money. So,
Paul, we need the Lord to end that. We need the Lord to end that, Paul.
I'll tell you, I got in a lot of trouble when a mother came to me, a marginalized woman who, not well educated, but she was concerned her son was drinking and drugging and, wasn't looking good. And she asked me to take a look at him. And I found out he was being drugged and raped by a physician. And of course, it's a mandatory reporting thing. But of course, in my mind, I just wanted to put a bullet in his head. And and it ends up, they swept it under the rug. He still practices. And that's going to come out. And, you should know that our governor protected her, our current governor. Yeah. She was the attorney general at the time. So, I'm pretty well indoctrinated to this since I was a kid with a very special priest who just died in prison. So, I see it and I understand it.
Folks, do we understand those children belong to the Lord? Do we understand they are His reward? Do you understand that? Do you understand that? These are the Lord's children.
He's not happy.
Myra.
Good morning, Saints. How you doing? I just want to read Jeremiah 17. Then, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Also, congratulations on your third grandchild.
Amen.
Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you, Myra. Hey, folks, I believe in works, okay? I believe in works. I'm not working my way to heaven, but I believe in works. Come on in, Rich.
Hey, good morning, Coach. Sorry I've been sick last few days, but...
I'm sorry you've been too.
I was awakened this morning by a dream, and it's funny. Well, it's not funny. It's actually God intervening with the message you have this morning. I was awakened. The dream I had was I was taking my niece to her part-time job, which for whatever reason, it was a Wendy's. She didn't even work at Wendy's. And every time we stopped to get to look at my phone for directions, I was near tractor trailers that were parked like if they were sleeping or laying over. And I was seeing these young kids that looked like they were probably between 9 and 13, boys and girls alike, sitting in the front seat of the cab with this solemn look on their face. Nobody in the driver's seat. And everywhere I went, I saw these tractor trailers with these kids in the front seat. And it was just tearing my heart apart. Because I figured out that it wasn't just little Joey riding with his dad that day in the truck. It was put on me that it was these kids were being hired for sex toys.
So Rich, we have to pray that the Lord will end that.
Yeah,
we have to pray that He'll end that, right?
How I'd like to end it, I can't say over the air, but amen.
Yeah, we should be able to say that though. Bless you, man. Matt, come on in. Matt Tice, go ahead.
Yes, yeah. Dave, got a thought here about this guy that was accused of being a pedophile and getting 94 years. I want to see convicted. If I understand.
You weren't accused. Yeah, convicted.
I want to see if I got this right. We're going to take a guy that's been convicted of being a pedophile, and we're going to lock him up for 94 years with all men. Does that really sound like it's any kind of punishment? See, is what we should be looking at. We should be looking at taking guys like this and giving them some real punishment. Number one, you cut off all their genitals, you sew up their rectum, and you give them a colostomy bag. Mm. And then you advertise that to the entire nation. And you say, this is what's going to happen to you if you mess around with being a pedophile with little kids. So we're going to take it seriously. This isn't serious. We're going to lock this guy up for 94 years with all men so he can have all the sex he wants to have. In the direction that he wants to go. And then we're going to call that punishment. Amen. We are one sick society.
We are sick. Tracy, come on in.
Good morning, everyone. I just wanted to mention two other
government organizations that need investigated, and that's our Department of Aging and those with the developmental disabilities, because pushing the jab, taking money.
They're all owned by Lucifer. Tracy, we cannot mix the sacred with the secular. Tracy, we can't get in church and talk about politics. Tracy, we can't do that.
BS.
That's what they're telling us, isn't it? That's what they're telling us. Revelation 20:15. Come on in.
Hey, Coach. I just want to say something else that we should be pissed about on this day is that our fellow countrymen are still languishing in prison.
For nothing, right? For nothing. Oh, I got a video. I don't have time to show it. Yes, I do. Get it ready for me right now, Spencer. Get it ready for me, Spencer. What you say, Coach? What are you talking about? I'm talking about Tucker on Insurrection Day and the whole thing. We have got a demon, folks. Merrick Garland is the Attorney General. He was almost on the U.S. Supreme Court. What the hell does that tell you? He is Attorney General, a political Attorney General, and they wanted him on the Supreme Court. What does that tell us? But I'm going to show you something that's going to make you cry, because it almost made me cry. Go ahead, Spencer. Scroll down there and see if you can't find the video. I got to show you. Yeah, keep on going. Keep on going. Hey, Spencer, turn that thing on real quick. Folks, are you sitting down? Are you sitting down? Here's why we lose. I'm so enraged this morning. Get it to play, Spencer, and I'll show you where to go. Go to our friend Ted Cruz. Go to about the last 2 minutes of this. Our friend on insurrection. There's that scumbag, that Merrick Garland. Go on. This is so worth, but go back. This is so worth. Are you ready, friends? These are the guys fighting our fight. Are you ready to listen to what this guy says about what we did in Washington, D.C.? Go ahead. Play it.
What are they busy doing? Well, they're busy repeating the talking points that Merrick Garland has written for them. Here's one example.
We are approaching a solemn anniversary this week. And it is an anniversary of a violent terrorist attack on the Capitol, where we saw the men and women of law enforcement demonstrate incredible courage, incredible bravery, risk their lives to defend the men and women who serve in this Capitol.
Now, let's be honest.
What the hell is he talking about? This guy's on our side. Not only is he on our side, he's one of the leaders on our side. Folks, do you believe this crap? Okay, now listen. I'm heading towards this. I'm trying to get my frustration out. But folks, today isn't Insurrection Day. Today is what? Huh? Celebrate Freedom Day. Right, Brett? This isn't Insurrection Day. Do you see the importance of what we had the vision to realize months ago, that we have got to reclaim this day? Because they will use this, our own team calling it Insurrection Day, Ted Cruz, and we're calling it what? Celebrate Freedom Day. What's going on today, Brett?
Coach, wow. Team, Celebrate Freedom Day. Coach, thanks for all that you do. And this team, we all are different players on the team. Many of you know I'm honored to be the strong safety. We have owners, we have athletic directors, we have quarterbacks, we have linemen, but we all are co-laborers. We're all teammates. And Coach, we have hundreds who have stepped up to the plate, who went out to the website, thechristianrevolution.net. They clicked on learn more about Celebrate Freedom Day. They let us know that they will gather small groups in their town, not going back to Washington, D.C., but gathering small groups in their town. You can pause it right there. Pause it right there, because thank you so much for stepping up in your town. And whether you meet at the end of your driveway and walk through your neighborhood, or you meet at a grocery store parking lot, the courthouse, a football stadium, or an overpass, we are standing up, Coach. And I think it's very important that for all who let us know that they'd be a local leader, man, what courage that they are just going out and doing it. They're not waiting for anybody else.
Yeah, I'm not looking for anybody's approval.
And Coach,
Insurrection Day, what are you talking about?
Shame.
What are you talking about?
Shame on Ted Cruz. Absolutely shame on Ted Cruz. Well, that's what we're really getting at, folks, is what really happened. And we're going to, this team is going to lead the way for America. And I think it's very important to note, Coach, we gave simple instructions and examples of an agenda to follow. We're laying down politics on this day. No Trump flags, no MAGA hats, no politics. But it's very important that we sent out an email with the letter from us, Coach, and I'm going to read it real quickly. Welcome, everyone, to Celebrate Freedom Day, hosted by thechristianrevolution.net. Today, we gather peacefully here and join hundreds of other small groups meeting at locations all over the United States of America. We, the people, are uniting like never before. Our inner cities, suburbs, and rural areas, we have way more in common than our differences. We, the people, have equal love for God, family, country, sports, and freedom. We lay down our political differences on Celebrate Freedom Day, January the 6th, by standing up together to those who hate America and are trying to undermine our country by dividing us, Coach. We can break free from this wicked agenda. Red, yellow, brown, black, and white, they are precious in his sight. A fair question to ask, what really happened to our families, schools, churches, government, media, our morals, elections, and so much more? What really happened to America? And we come together on this day to celebrate freedom, breaking free from those that want to divide us. We the people in all 50 states pledging together to stand for good versus evil. And Coach, we know that with everybody's help, we're going to work hard to fund good. We ask you to visit thechristianrevolution.net and read our open letter to the world. If you like what we stand for, please pray that God's will be done. Give $10, $20, $50, $100 or more and share the website with others. Pray, give, share. And we believe that there's never been a better time for revival and healing for America and the world. One nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all. All praise be to God, and thank you for coming. Coach hey, Dave Brett, and Ohio Brett.
We want them to take pictures and share those pictures with That's us, right. folks. Because when we get done with this, we're going to show pictures all across America. If you are doing one of these events, please take pictures. And when you get
amazing,
done,
Coach, from
send us the pictures.
They'll send
we don't
us
need 100 of them. We don't need 100 of them. But send us a picture from where you are doing this today so we can show the world that we still are one nation under God, and we are going to celebrate and reclaim our freedoms. That's
and
what we're
Coach,
going to do.
Coach, we're going to cry out. All of this is really crying out against the abominations in our midst. All of this. We're asking that question, what really happened? And we're not going to stop. That's what's great about what God led on us to partner with thechristianrevolution.net. We're do three things, Coach. We're a grant-making business. We want to raise dollars so we can give grants out to help those who are standing up for good versus evil. Number two, we're recruiting. We're building the team, the co-laborers. And then the third thing is we're involved in getting the truth out and taking action, chipping away at that mountain with shovels and tractors. There's so many areas that we can focus on, and we're just getting started.
Amen, Ben. Amen. Come on in, Reggie.
Good morning, everybody. Coach, going back, thank you, Ohio Brett. We'll be there. We'll send you some pictures on our little corner. So people who work with children and trying to protect children, the worst of the worst, we work directly. We're fighting against demons, and we know it. We know it. We know what we're fighting against. And all you listeners out there, many of them don't understand this. They keep fighting in the same filth. They're wallowing in the same filth trying to get clean. They have the system. It is theirs. You're not going to win. I don't care if you call me cynical. I don't care if you call me, you know, negative. I know this. I've been doing this for 30 years. You're not going to win. You're wallowing in the same filth with the Luciferians, thinking you're going to take them back, take it over. You're not. When you start to realize that, you're going to look yourself in the mirror going, what are we going to do? When you start saying, what do we do? You'll start to get the answer. And it's because you got to go wallow in the filth for some time. This is their system. You're never going to win, even if you get a seat. You'll learn that the hard way. You're going to have to fight. I'm sorry. We are going to have to fight. That's it.
Boom. Amen. Mel.
Boom.
Thanks, Coach. You know, when I was listening to Ted Cruz talk, you know, remember, he was the darling, you know, when Trump was running. You know, he was kind of one of the top contenders. And thank God he didn't get in there. But, you know, it made me remember about, you know, January 6th. Yeah, I think a lot of people wondered, you know, there are millions of people there. Like, why were we there? You know, that was the question. So what dawned on me when you hear, you know, Ted Cruz being a turncoat is that maybe we were there to testify to what really happened. If we weren't there, Ted Cruz could be talking like that and we'd be like, well, I don't know, you know, what.
By the way, Mel, most of the people you go to church with believe Ted Cruz. That's the problem.
Yep.
They don't know the truth. They don't want to know the truth. Because if they knew the truth, it would spur them to action. Hey, excavation or evacuation? We're planning on evacuation. John Brockoff, come on in, John.
Yeah, did you know that Ted Cruz's wife was a member of the Council on Foreign Relations?
Well, we know this, John. Everybody up there is bought. Let me take another one on for you. How about our hero, Jim Jordan? Has Jim Jordan done anything but talk? Sort of like Trey Gowdy. You remember Trey Gowdy? Whatever happened to big talk Trey Gowdy? Why, they let him say just enough, and then they moved him into a lucrative job in the media doing something else, right? See, they let these guys go to a certain point. Listen to me. Listen. They'll let Sean Hannity say just so much. They'll let Rush Limbaugh say just so much. But there's a line that they're not able to cross over, friends. They are pressure valves. They let the pressure. Ah, Hannity's in charge. Ah, Rush is in charge. Ah, I got to turn on Tucker tonight. He's in charge. Oh, then I go to bed and sleep. And while I'm sleeping, they're raping kids. And we don't care. We don't care, see. Why? Because we're going to save that mountain, be thou removed. We're not going to go remove it. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And we're cowardly. Jack, come on in.
They're just a controlled opposition, Coach. You got
a tinfoil hat on, Jack. You have your whole life. Yeah. That's why nobody believes you.
That's right. And my tinfoil hat has a felt liner.
Amen.
Earmuffs.
Yeah. All politics are local. All politics are local. And hey, listen. Hey, is your pastor standing in your pulpit telling you to get your kids to have kids? Is your pastor telling you that? Is your pastor standing in the pulpit and exhorting people in that church to have children? Is he doing that? No. The enemy's trying to kill him. And we're not even fighting back against the enemy's desire to kill our children. Can't you see it? We want God to do a supernatural intervention. And he said, hey, I already hit my button. Will you hit yours? You hit yours? Michelle and I, yesterday, when Abby couldn't get in to have her baby at 7:30 because the maternity ward was filled up, Michelle was all upset and all panicked. I love her. I'm not making fun of my wife. She says, what? Why are they blocking it? Why can't Abby get in? I said, hey, Michelle, we're believing for a natural birth. We're believing her water's going to break. We believe in that. And we're all worried, walking around all day. She's at the hospital. They won't let her out of it. And what the heck happens? Psst. Her water breaks. Somebody hit this switch. God had already hit his. But we stood on faith. And we believed what God said. Right? It sounds simplistic. But it's more real than we understand. Jeff?
Coach, this is a line I use. For all these kids that are being harmed, this is what I always say to these idiots. We were rescued to rescue. Why are we not?
We were rescued to rescue. Why are we not? Why are we not? Folks, we are at the most unbelievable time in world history. Can I tell you why? Not because it's the end of days. That's a whole nother story. We are at the most unbelievable moment in America, in world history, because of the power of instant communication. Instant communication. Do you have any idea how easy it would be for us to raise up an army in an instant if we needed to? Do you have any idea? Do you have any idea how easy it would be for us to not just speak to that amount? Remember, as abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you believe child sacrifice is wrong, you can't just speak it. You got to really, really believe it. And if you really, really believe it, you go do it. So we have right now mass communication, instantaneous communication. We are prepared like we have never been prepared to fight this war against the forces of darkness. We are prepared to do it right now. We have all of the telecom set up. We have instant communication. We have everything we need to win this war right now. But folks, we're going to have to come out of the locker room. I'm sorry. We're going to have to come out of the locker room.
Hey, Coach.
Randy, go ahead, Randy.
Coach, this is my question. Do we really believe that our seed, our children, are going to
be
the gate of the enemy?
No.
No. No. So, Coach, those that don't believe that, be it unto their faith, you know, let it be according to your faith. I believe it, Coach. I'm going to stand and I'm going to believe. If I don't see it come to pass in my generation, I'm going to see it. They're going to see it in the next one. We are going to take the enemy's gate, Coach.
We are going to. We're going to do it, Randy. And listen, we're not going to take. We're going to take back. See, it is finished. What is finished? 1 John 3:8. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he would do what? Destroy the works of the devil. He did it. It's finished. Folks, when are we going to realize this? When are we going to realize that he got victory over death, hell, and the grave? He already won that victory. It is finished. Go ye therefore. It's finished. Go. I'm with you. Go. It's finished. Go. What's wrong with us?
Hey, Ben.
Come on in, Jeff.
Just to put a plug in, we got 4 gates in 4 cities here in the next week. 4 more school board meetings already posted in Knox County. We'll be at all 4. So anybody in the Central Ohio area that want to come to school board meetings, we're going to go hit them again. That'll make about 16 meetings in about 90 or 100 days. We just keep going.
Jeff, according to this right now, there's 139 people in the queue. Not just logged on watching the show, 139 people in the queue alone. And so we ought to get 139 pictures tomorrow from what you did on Celebrate Freedom Day. We ought to have a picture from all 139 of you showing us what you, it's 140, what you all did on Celebrate Freedom Day. See, if we get this idea that it's always somebody else's job, if we get this idea that God is going to supernaturally step in and do it, then we are absolved from any responsibility. If we are either going to do some excavation or we're going to do some evacuation. One of the two is going to happen. And we got to grab a shovel. Go ahead, Emma.
I'm working on my signs right now, Coach.
All right. I'll be downtown. We'll be downtown Newark. I want to be about 10 different places. I want to spend the day out on the freeway, the overpass of the freeway with sun. That's what I want to do. That's really what I want to do. I don't care what everybody else is doing. I want to go stand on Route 70 and hold those signs. What really happened? Celebrate. That's what I want to do. That's where my heart is today.
Great idea, Coach. I might do the same after 1 o'clock.
Yep. I'm so sick. I'm so sick of what's going on. Tracy.
We're going to be in Guernsey County and then also Noble County. And then we are going to the Marietta office of our representative. And we're going to ask him some questions about January 6th.
Yeah, what really happened, right? What really happened? And how come your representative isn't helping those guys get out of jail? How come they're not helping those guys get out of jail? Instead, we got Ted Cruz, one of our soldiers, calling it a violent insurrection. To my dear friend across the aisle, Ted Cruz, hey, Ted Cruz is a sissy. Let's celebrate freedom today, huh? God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.